Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, praise God. Let's I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. I think to start, this isn't in my notes, but you know, I try not to preach off my notes. I try to preach out of my heart. And if you have the word in you, it'll come out. That's just the way it works. Have you ever noticed that? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you put the word of God in you in abundance, you know, sometimes you go to churches and they have their kind of language and stuff. Our language is the Bible. So whether it be King James or the Passion Translation or NIV or whatever, but our language is the Bible. And you'll hear it throughout in even in announcements. You know, my wife preached the announcements this morning. I don't know if you noticed that or not. It's like, she's going to preach the announcements. So, but we are. You know, sometimes people get uncomfortable because they think, well, if I talk like that, it'll be different than the way people talk. You're supposed to talk different than the way other people talk. You're supposed to talk different than the world. Now, there is a pretty strong push in some parts of the church, and I think there's a principle here, but I think it's been taken out of context, to become all things to all people. But that doesn't mean you become their sin. Amen. It doesn't mean you become worldly. It means that you extend through the love of God that is in you, the love of Christ to them. Amen. And so that's part of the process of growing and maturing spiritually, and we're doing that. And I'm going to start a new series this morning called Filled with the Fullness of God. And this is going to be a series on the love of God because it's Valentine's. No, not really. It just kind of worked out that way. I am not a holiday preacher. Have you ever seen some churches do that? And they do what they want, but I just don't do that because I don't feel like the Holy Spirit's led by holidays. Especially ours. You know, it's like God's in heaven going, what month is it? Oh, we better teach on this. No, he doesn't do that. He teaches on what we need for the time. Amen. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll start there. We already prayed. So be believing God with me here, and we'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts this morning. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 24, "He who calls you is what? He's faithful and will do it." Now, this is not an unfamiliar scripture for us here at the church because we reference this quite a bit. But this is a vital truth that every believer must understand. You are a three-part being. You have a spirit. In fact, you are a spirit. You have or possess a soul, and you live in a body. Okay? Now, I actually shared this yesterday at the memorial service for my dad. And people have asked me, you know, how did you keep it together? Because I have the Lord. I mean, that's it. I don't know any other way to say it, you know, because you have the loss. You feel the loss of your family member that has gone on. And, you know, I may have lost a grandparent before or something like that. It's different when it's your dad. Okay? It's different. Or somebody who's very close to you. And so the Lord has helped me, you know, even through the midst of it. You know, people talk about, and I actually don't really care for this statement. I think there's a better way to say it. I understand what people are saying. But I've heard people say, you know, well, the Lord teaches us through these circumstances. Well, if you're saying that he gave you the circumstance to teach you something, that's different than what I would say. I would say that the Holy Spirit is taking what the enemy meant for evil, and God is using it for the good of others. Does that make sense? And so, yes, he is teaching me as I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But he did not destine me to the valley of the shadow of death. Okay? That we brought that on by ourselves through sin. Amen? And so, but anyway, through the process, the Lord has been showing me things and helping me understand more and more about that process. But I want to read a scripture over in 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm going to read this in the Mirror Bible. I study in the New King James, and then I'll find supplement scriptures or translations, sometimes paraphrases that are, they help give a little more detail, and newer words, and so this will help you out. I felt like it helped them. But going back to this thought, you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body, okay? Now, I could give you other scriptures to back that up. I just don't have time to do it. This one, you'll see it here a little bit. But 2 Corinthians 5:1, the mirror says this, our skin suits have a sell-by date. That's crude, isn't it? When I read it, I was like, Lord, I'm not sure I want to share that. But it makes sense to us, okay? He says our skin suits have a sell-by date. Our spirit bodies are eternal. The same God who fashioned these skin bodies in our mother's womb engineered our spirit bodies to be our permanent dwelling. Isn't that good? That'll help you understand, and Paul uses other language as well, but it'll help you understand how you are made up so that you can delineate where things are coming from. How many have read Galatians 5 before? Have you read Galatians 5? So you're aware that Paul talks about two different desires that you will have, that you are dealing with. And actually, he makes the statement, they are warring against each other. You have desires in your natural body that actually war against the desires of your spirit. Because your spirit is born again, and we know by 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. And when the old has passed away, the new then has come. And then in verse 18, he says this. He says, all things are of God. So in your spirit, you have the Holy Spirit. But in your flesh, you have a different desire. Come on. How many have driven down Monad at 5 o'clock after work, 5:30, and the person in front of you, the other day, I was coming down Central, and the light turns green, and I start driving, and there's another vehicle set up, obviously headed west. I was headed east, and I think I was going to get my hair cut. Anyway, doesn't matter, squirrel. So anyway, they're driving west, and I'm going east, and I'm looking at this flow of traffic, and all these cars go, and then there's this truck. It's just sitting there, and there's a car right behind it. Now, this is a man's truck, you know what I mean? Either he really likes big trucks, or he's a little guy, and he's compensating, so he got a bigger truck. And anyway, it's a big old diesel. Well, the car behind him can't see what's going on. That truck sat there. The traffic was gone. The light was still green, and he was just sitting there. And the truck was brand new, so I know it wasn't broken down. What was he doing? This. At the light, right? Not paying attention to where he was going. And you're the person in the behind, and you're going, I have a desire. How many have noticed that your flesh will go, just run into their vehicle. Just do it. But if you listen to your heart will say, pray for them, be patient, rest, rest. Blood pressure, stay even. Right? Because you have two different desires. You have a desire of your heart, but then you also have a desire of your flesh. And you got to control that flesh. And so this issue of separating those two things, we see it here. In skip down to verse 8. He says this is the mirror. It says, our confidence stems from knowing that even though it might feel at times that we are merely reduced to flesh, our greater reality is that we are entwined. I love that. Entwined in the Lord. He is our permanent abode. So in other words, in the Spirit, we are one, and the Scripture literally says this, with the Lord. Through the blood and body of Jesus Christ, you have been made one. You have peace with God. That word peace actually means wholeness. So you are whole in Christ. and you've been made a new creation, and you have resurrection power on the inside of you. Paul put it this way, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in me. And, you know, depending on what denomination your background is, they'll emphasize different parts of that, but there's a whole body of thought in the Scripture that intertwines into what that is and what you have victory over. And so we want to look at that this morning. So let's go to John chapter 13. Let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 13. We'll start there. And I want to talk about the most important subject in the Word. People go, what? How can you say that? This is one of those subjects that if you get a hold of it, it will radically transform your life. I was sharing this morning in corporate prayer. We were talking a little bit about this and just praying along these lines. And I was sharing about the importance of this subject, not only for the church, but then for the world as well. And you'll see why here in just a minute. But I was thinking about it and looking at it, and if you look at this subject, love, it is part of everything. You know, the Bible doesn't say God has love. The Bible says God is love. If you ever want to get that more ingrained into your mind, every time you see the word used in the Scripture, God, replace it with love. Replace that word with love and then say the verse, okay? And it will help you, it'll help frame how you see God. If you want to know the definition of God, read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8. It'll help you see God is patient and kind. It'll help you see God in a way that you hadn't before. So if God doesn't have love, He is love, then everything that comes from Him is a byproduct of the root. So if the root is love, the fruit has love in it. Does that make sense? So mercy, which actually, if you look up those words, is also the word compassion, is love. And you'll begin to understand God. When you understand God, and when you understand Christ, you understand the nature you now have. See, people get all hung up because their minds are confused with religious brainwashing instead of New Testament teaching. They think they have to keep the Ten Commandments under the New Testament. And then the other half of it is, people think, well, we don't have no commandments, we do whatever we want. And both of them are wrong. The Bible actually gives us one new commandment that fulfills all the other commandments. And we're going to look at that right now. So John chapter 13, verse number 34 says this. Jesus is speaking. How many is it read in your Bible? Okay. Jesse DePlantis says that's the hot sauce of the Word of God. You ought to pay attention. John 13, 34 says, a new commandment I give to you that you what? Love one another as what? I have loved you. Wow, that's a thought. How are you supposed to love one another as Jesus loves you? You know, that'll curb fights. I was thinking about this subject, and I noticed, I think it was Faith Chapel, I noticed on Facebook they were doing a class. Somebody was doing a class for that church on what do you call them? Like if somebody is divorced and then they get married to somebody else and you have kids from both sides of the family coming together? Blended, yes, thank you. So blended family, they were doing a blended family type conference thing. There are so many good things available. How many of you realize that you can go to? And there's materials all over the place for these things. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, boy, that's a good thing to have. You know, I'm glad they're providing that for people. And then I was also thinking, you know, if we just walked in the love of God, it solves the marriage problems. It solves the church fighting problems. It solves the sibling fighting problems. And all the parents said amen under their breath. Some of them probably went, yeah. Are you listening? It solves all those issues. It solves cousins fighting. Come on. It solves the jealousy issue. It solves the "they didn't treat me like I should be treated" issue. And if we walk in the love of God, we walk in the level of maturity of God. And Jesus, people say, "Well, that's impossible." Then Jesus lied to you. Let me just break it all the way down. And that way we'll, this is one of my favorite things to do. Eliminate every possible of a way of excusing yourself from obedience in the process of what we're learning. Because what I found about the Lord is that he doesn't ask you to do something that he doesn't empower you to do also. So if it was just in your strength, I can understand that. I totally could understand that. If you just tried to walk in, that's why the law failed. You do realize that, right? Because they had to do it in their own natural strength and mental ability. But under the new covenant, you're not just with you. The Holy Spirit is empowering you. This is how relationships, this is how life, this is how you will succeed on every level. Because the scripture literally says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love never fails. Now that is a thought. How would you like to never fail? Now, when you truly walk in the love of God, your flesh will feel like, "We're failing, we're failing." Why? Because it's not getting what it wants. But to live naturally is actually, by the desires of the flesh, is actually the lowest level of living you can do. To live spiritually out of your spirit by the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the highest level of living you can do. So this subject is not going to make you shout at me. "Preach it, Sean. I need to hear about that patience more." "I know I'm being selfish." Go ahead, brother. Get after it. The nature of the flesh is they need to treat me better. The nature of the spirit is, how can I lay my life down for them? Come on. You see that? Jesus said, he said here, "Love each other as I have loved you, that you also," then he goes on to say, "as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Now this is specifically talking to the church. The body of Christ, specifically. Now, we're supposed to love the world too, but this is specifically talking to the body of Christ. And verse 35 shows us that. It says, "By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So in other words, what is Jesus saying? I am giving you the greatest evangelism tool ever. And it will be the way, the testimony, the outreach to those who are not saved, not born again, it will be through what? The avenue of your love one for another. It's powerful. So Jesus said there, a new what? In verse 34 again, a new commandment. Huh. That's nice, isn't it? That, notice it didn't say a new suggestion I give to you. He didn't say, "It would be nice if you would all." Jesus didn't say, "You know, I was thinking." He didn't say any of that, did he? He said a new commandment. Now, the word commandment, it means a command or a charge. A charge. So this is a charge to us. So we see here that God has given us a commandment, a charge to love one another. This is not a new suggestion, it's not a new idea, and it is a commandment. We see here that we are able to love each other the way that Jesus loves us. Jesus would not ask us to do something that we could not do. We can love one another just the same way Jesus loved us. How did Jesus love us? While we were yet sinners. Jesus said, "Pray for those who" what? "Persecute you." You know what your flesh wants to do? Persecute back. "I'll show you persecution, buddy." What would Jesus do? Well, I have the wristband. Well, you should live it out. Right? You should live it out. Jesus said, or the scripture says, as far as you're concerned, live at peace with all men. Well, they won't live at peace with me, but you can live at peace with them. You can do it. Why? Because the Lord gave you the command, and with the command comes the power to do so. And the benefits that will come to you will be phenomenal. I'll just say that. So we see here that he gave us that commandment, not that suggestion. This commandment, this truth is the key to the success of the kingdom of God in the earth. It is the key to the success of the kingdom of God in the earth. This is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, evangelism tools that we have as believers. It simply has to do with how we walk in love with each other. It simply has to do with that. So, let's go back to another thought here, and I want to read this to you. Under the old covenant, there were statutes, there were commandments and regulations the people had to keep in order to fulfill their part of the covenant. For example, under the Old Testament law, it included the Ten Commandments. How many of you have ever read the Ten Commandments? You can jot this down. I'm not going to go there, but it's in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 17. You can see them there. But under the new covenant, Jesus only gave us one new law or commandment. The new law was to take the place of the old law. The law of love is the new law. Abiding by the New Testament law of love takes the place of the old law with its regulations and statutes and commandments. You know, if we're going to try and keep the Ten Commandments in order to do what God has asked us to do, we might as well go back to killing animals too. Does that make sense? But we don't need to do that. Why? Because Jesus was the lamb slain. His blood is the one that cleansed us. Under the old covenant, when they would sacrifice animals, all that blood did was cover up the sin. Under the New Testament, under Jesus' blood, it eradicates sin. Because his is pure. It's absolutely pure and absolutely holy. So there is something else we need to see about the new covenant law of love. The New Testament commandment of love is a fulfillment of the Ten Commandments. The law of love completed or fulfilled the Old Testament commandments. You say, how do you know that? Well, let's go to Hebrews, shall we? Actually, I take that back. Let's go to Romans 13. Sorry about that. I will get to Hebrews, but we already looked at some of this. Remember we said, you're a new creation in Christ. So Romans chapter 13, we'll see it right here. Paul said it. He said, look, the law of love fulfills everything else. So Romans chapter 13, verse number 8 says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has what? Fulfilled the law. You see that? He who loves another has done what? He has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, and then he goes into it here, he names a couple of them. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder. Is any of this going on today? Let me help you with something. Sometimes our society is interesting. They think they have come so far in their thinking. You're the same as they were 2,000 years ago. 4,000 years ago. You understand what I'm saying? The nature of humanity has not changed. The technology has advanced to be able to express the stupidity of flesh. But the actual intelligence of mankind has not increased. Okay? It's the same. It may have digressed. Okay? I don't believe in evolution. I believe in devolution. I believe we've actually devolved. So he says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, you shall not bear false witness, and don't be a liar is what he's saying. Don't covet. And then he says what in the last part of the verse? And if there is any other commandment, all are what? Summed up in this saying, namely what? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says this, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is what? The fulfillment of the law. You don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. I'll just tell you this. If you walk in the love of God, you won't violate any of the commandments. Look, you're not going to lie to your neighbor if you love them. If you're loving your spouse the way that God loves you, you're not going to lie to your spouse ever about anything. You don't know what I did. Fess up. Well, that'll cause a fight. Yeah, but the enemy won't have a hook in your marriage where he can come in and grab onto something and cause division between you two. Young people, don't lie to your parents. I'll get in trouble. It'll be worse if you lie to them. So how do you know that? Because I tried it. It doesn't work. Well, my parents won't love me anymore. They'll love you. They'll probably whoop you, but they'll love you. They'll still love you. Parents, it's like, you know, how many parents know this, will testify to this. You know, the kid, you know, the missus, the wife, pops the kid out. It's a little bit more detailed than that, but we won't go into it. And that kid, all that kid's doing is crying and eating and messing their diaper and waking you up in the middle of the night when you're supposed to be sleeping. That's all that kid's doing. And what does the parent do? I love them. Look at them. I love them. And what are they doing for the parent? Nothing. They've done nothing. They're a drain on your world, your time, your effort, everything. But what does the parent do? It's instantaneous. Well, God's the same way with us. So, young people, your parents are not going to hate you. You say, well, they might be disappointed. Well, that's not the same as not loving you. Being disappointed in you is one thing. And there's nothing wrong. You know, my kids, they can do nothing to make me love them more or less. They can do things to determine how pleased I am with them. But that doesn't mean I hate them. It just means we got to make corrections. And there are buttons on a kid's body that help make corrections. My parents used to use this button. You know? There's a reset button on younger kids. It's a padded area toward this area that if you just give it a pop, don't have to get rough with them. Just get their attention a little bit. And guess what? It's like an attitude adjustment. It's a reset button. Sometimes your kids are like a computer. They get a blue screen on them. How many have experienced that before? And you have to reset the, okay. But you can do it in love. You don't, when you're walking in love, and we see this here, and the point we're trying to make here is this point, is that love fulfills the Ten Commandments. And then people will say, well, do you see a need for the Ten Commandments? Well, the Ten Commandments point out sin. That's why people who reject God want to tear them down, or they run their car into them, or, you know, all that stuff, spray paint them, all that stuff. You say that doesn't make you mad? What for? They're just acting how they are. They're just acting in line with, and people say, well, we passed a law. Law cannot change a heart. I'm good with laws. They're godly. They're supposed to be there. You have to have law to have rule of order in society. Why? Because people do not, even Christians, do not follow their hearts. You know, have you guys seen the recent things in the news about, you know, people have been spray painting over these churches that have like rainbow flags on them and stuff like that? You say, you're for homosexuality. No, I'm not. It's against what God has taught in His Word. But what good are you doing by going by and spraying "I hate homosexuals" on a car? Oh, that's going to win them over. I mean, you are just leading them right to the Lord. Because we all know that when Jesus was on the earth, He found people that were in sin and just pounded the ever-living fire out of them. Now, you come follow me. And they're going, you know. No, that is not what He did. And people say, well, they can't live that way. Listen, there's a punishment in the lifestyle. Whatever a man sows, that will he reap. You are not the vengeance of God. Paul said, leave it up to God. And your flesh will go, I like that scripture. I think I am the wrath of God. You know? No, you're not. Just leave that in God's hands. There are things that you cannot see in people that God can. Because you can't see the heart. God can. That's why we're to extend love. Why? Because that love, there's probably just a slight crack in that heart where that light can get through. And it may one day create an opening in them to where they receive Christ. Amen? Romans 13:8 in the Passion Translation says this, "Don't owe anything to anyone except your outstanding debt to continually love one another. For the one who learns to love has fulfilled every requirement of the law. For the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and every other commandment can be summed up in these words. Love and value others the same way you love and value yourself." Love and value others the same way. Verse 10, love makes it impossible to harm another. Isn't that good? You know, before we speak sometimes, we don't want to slow it down. How many have ever noticed that really the most, you know, this obviously he deals with sexual sins and different things in here, but really the most unruly part of our bodies is our tongue. And the gospel or the epistle of James really pointed that out by the Holy Spirit. He said, look, you got to grab hold of that tongue. And you're going to need the Holy Spirit to do that. Because if you're going to maintain a level of love and peace in your life, you have to watch what you say. Listen to me very carefully. I want to make this clear. You need to watch what you say to yourself. Okay? How many have found out I'm this way? Nobody is harder on me but me than me. Does that make sense? I mean, I don't know why I'm wired that way, but I have been wired that way, or at least developed that way of thinking. So I frequently have to tell myself, Sean, you're loved by God. You're loved by God. You are loved of God. In fact, God loves you so much, He sent His Son to die for you. That's a high level of love. And the scripture actually says that He loved us while we were yet sinners. And then it goes on to say, how much more now that you're a son or a daughter of God? So you might as well just say it, God loves me much more. People are like, I don't know if I can say that. I know, because religious minds think God's mad. He's not mad. He isn't mad. He loves you much more now, and He loved you enough to give Jesus before. I mean, you're in a good position if you're born again. He loves you much more. I'm much more loved. And then, I know you saw it here, but He says it. Love others as you what? Love your... So the better you love you with God's love, the better you'll be able to love someone else. Okay? Love makes it impossible to harm another. I love that. So love fulfills all that the law requires. Let's go to Hebrews 8. We'll see this again. The Bible says, let every word be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So we'll give you about 12. Do you know truth is one of those things that you just have to build it line upon line and precept upon precept? Well, can't you lay hands on us and zap the problems away? Sorry. That'd be nice. But that doesn't require much faith. And God loves faith. Amen? Hebrews 8:8 says this, because finding fault with them, talking about the first covenant, He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 9, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. So what do we know He's talking about here? He's talking about Moses. He's talking about the Israelites, and so what is He referring to? The Ten Commandments, correct? Because Moses received the Ten Commandments on the mountain for the people of God during that time, and that was a covenant that was established at that time. For this is the covenant, or the last part of verse 9, He says, because they did not continue in My covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. Verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put My laws in their mind and what? write them on their hearts. And then he says, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 11, none of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the what? Greatest of them. So sometimes people think, well, I'm not the minister, I can't know God. No, 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 from the least to the greatest. Does that make sense? How would you be able to recognize who the greatest was in the body of Christ? They're your servant. Oh, I thought it was the guy that was on all the billboards with the international TV show. You say you're diminishing those offices. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. The greatest among you is your servant. You cannot determine greatness in the body of Christ according to natural standards. You have to look to spiritual standards. Amen? There is a grandma somewhere or a widow somewhere in the world that's been praying for people for years and years and years. And I believe we'll see this when we get to heaven, that some of the rewards that are doled out will be the nursery workers first. Come on. They have to deal with the smell of a foul spirit. And what, somebody said one time, the scripture in the, I think it's in Thessalonians, but it says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. That's the nursery scripture. Talking about the rapture, but I thought that was pretty funny. That's pretty good. So he says, you'll know him. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Who knows God better than the Holy Ghost? Nobody. And he's in you. So you can know the Lord. So you might as well start saying, I know the Lord. The Holy Spirit's helping me know the Lord greater and greater and greater every year. That was another thing that I had people ask me, how can you be stable? How can you be stable when your dad just moved to heaven? Because I've been putting the word in me for 20 years. Consistently. Not like trying it out for a little bit and then falling off for 5 years. Come on. Consistently. And I can't explain it to you because it's not a natural feeling. I can't explain it to you because it's not some sort of mental ascent type thing. But the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it penetrates to the dividing of the soul of the spirit. It gets inside of you and becomes seed in you. And as you keep your heart open to it, it roots in you. And then what do you know? When trouble comes, you can do what Jesus did. You can sleep in the boat. Come on. It is available to everybody. I had a man give me the Lord gave him a prophetic word for me, for lack of a better term. That's probably the term I would use. And it's kind of in a poetry form. And the whole gist of this is the hull of a ship. How many are familiar with ships? So underneath in these ships, and I kind of got the picture, and he's kind of this way, but like of an old-time sail ship that carries cargo somewhere. And the hull is underneath. It's where all the cargo sits, okay? And he talked about that, and he talked about how he felt like the Lord had said the hull of the ship was full of seed, precious seed. What is the seed? It's the Word of God. Why? So what does that mean to me? That means I got to fill and fill and fill and fill and fill and fill and fill with the Word of God. And the more I do, glory to God, the more I have to dispense. When I come up to your shore and you run into me, or when your family runs into you, what do they run into? Do you go down inside the hull and go, uh-oh, we forgot to pick up cargo today? Or do they run into a hull full of the love of God? Amen? See, you're not under 10 commandments. You're under one commandment. The Holy Spirit, the love of God shed abroad in your heart. He says this, Jesus, verse 12. I actually believe the Apostle Paul wrote this, but it is the Word of God, so it's Jesus. So he says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Thank God for that. Amen. Verse 13, in that he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Do we live under the old covenant? No. Is it necessary to repeat the rituals of the Old Testament? The answer is no. Because Jesus fulfilled it all. You don't have to go back. There's nothing wrong with studying those things. They help us understand some of them. But look, I know people that try and do some of the rituals of the Old Testament. For what? For what purpose? Jesus was the fulfillment of those things. You're not under a covenant of flesh. You're under a covenant of spirit. You're not trying to get God to you. You're releasing Him out of you. See, the law didn't work because it could not change your heart. The Spirit does because He gets in you. That's the purpose of being born again. It's a spiritual birth. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll see this again. New covenant, new law. Hebrews 10 verse 7. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offering for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Verse 9, then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. This is speaking of Jesus. He takes away the first covenant. You could put covenant in there. And he, that he may establish the what? Second covenant. Verse 10, by that will we have been sanctified. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Skip down to verse 14. For by one offering, talking about Jesus, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Boy, there is a mouthful right there. And if you don't read that verse and get happy, then you need to reread it and reread it and reread it until you do. Because he has perfected you forever. Glory to God. Verse 15, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after that he said before, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will what? Put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will what? Write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Verse 18, now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. We see from these three passages of Scripture that the old covenant has been totally replaced with the new covenant. The Ten Commandments have been replaced with one new commandment, love one another just as Jesus has loved us. Under the old covenant, the word commandment is in the plural. This is interesting. Commandments. If you look it up. Under the old covenant, it's plural. But under the new covenant, the word commandment is singular because there is only one commandment. Love. Love. There's only one. And it is the law of love. And that commandment is written in our recreated spirit or heart. Remember in Hebrews 8:10, it said, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. If the law of love is written in your heart and you're walking in the light of God's love, you are not going to break any of the Ten Commandments. You see, the commandments of the Old Testament were given to curb sin. They could not stop sin. They were given to curb it. How many have read Romans 7? How many have read it and gone, what? Paul is giving this battle that went on within him. He's like, I read the law. I knew it was wrong. I agreed with it, but I couldn't obey it. Why? Because wrong nature. Your nature cannot change until you receive Jesus. Do you know you're not saved by going to church? Well, I did my duty, God. I punched the ticket. I put time in. Does that count for nothing? It only counts for something if you put something into it. Does that make sense? Church attendance, church membership does not save you. It never will. You have to be born again. You have to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you have not, you are not saved. If you've been born again, I don't know about you, but I know for me, I can mark it. I know the day. I know the time. Well, I don't want to think about it that way. I just want to do some, you know, some good things and hope I get into heaven. Friend, listen to me. You will not. That is not how it works. You have to believe on Jesus. You have to receive Him as your substitute. You have to confess Him as your Savior and Lord. That is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Well, I've gone to church for 20 years and never been saved. I would get saved. I would give my life to Jesus because that's the answer. Amen? James chapter 2. And we'll stop right here. You know what? We'll pick up here next week. Would you stand, please? Did you learn anything? Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, I pray for every person here. I thank you that your word is seed. I thank you that you've, by your Holy Spirit, dealt with people today. Lord, this message, this commandment that you've given us of love, we purpose, just in your own heart right now, you don't have to say it out loud necessarily, or you could just say it under your breath to yourself, but just purpose, commit to walk in this love. You know, sometimes people have said, well, if we do that, then everything's going to go wrong. You know, they say, I tried to walk in love and everything went wrong. Well, the enemy may try and steal the seed, but you gotta have some spiritual fortitude and overcome those things and fight the good fight of faith like a good soldier. Be ready for it. But Lord, we commit our hearts to walk in love. Lord, as a church, we commit our hearts. We commit our lives. We commit our soul, our mind, our bodies to be vessels of your love. Expressions of your love. Lord, we commit that we are going to grow and learn and walk in the fullness of God. The fullness of you by understanding and walking in the fullness of love. You know, just I sense this in my heart. If you have ill will toward anybody, you need to go ahead and take care of that with the Lord. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm not going to ask for anybody to come forward or tell the world about it. But you, between you and the Holy Spirit, you need to go ahead and take care of that. And you say, well, I've tried before, but it didn't work. Well, then you didn't grab hold with the Lord on it. You need to go ahead and make sure that you get a hold of His strength, that He shed abroad that love in your heart by the Holy Ghost, according to Romans 5:5, and then get after that thing and get it out of you. Don't let any bitterness or unforgiveness or offense live in you, because if you do, I'm telling you, the enemy will be able to do things that in your life, and it will be terrible. You'll have things attach themselves to you, and you won't be able to get rid of it. You won't know how to get free. You'll get confusion will settle in, and it's because you haven't forgiven someone, or you have an offense at someone, or you have a bitterness at someone. You need to let that thing go. You need to let it go. Choose to do that. Choose to walk in love. When you think about that person, go, I love them, Lord, with your love. And do yourself a favor. Don't look for your feelings to change all at once. The love of God is not shed abroad in your feelings. It's shed abroad in your heart. So, Father, we commit to do that. Father, we thank you for this service. My second charge to you would be this before I let you go. If you have not given your heart to the Lord, you come see me right after. You come talk to me, and we'll pray and get that right. Because church attendance doesn't do it. Only being born again does it. And the Holy Spirit is drawing you. So, Father, thank you for today. We bless your name and we thank you for your word. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right, God bless you guys. Have a great week. Don't forget about Wednesday night Bible study. If you need prayer for anything, we're here for you. Please come.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.